Good morning.
Morning.
And a snowy day, and yet we're back in the sanctuary, and we're right where we're supposed to be this morning for the sermon titled, Nope, He Won't Do It. Our scripture lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And while you're looking that up, the head deacon at the church came home that day. He went in the house and went upstairs and found his wife in front of the full-length mirror modeling this fire engine red, very tight, form-fitting dress. And he walked in and caught her doing that. He said, "My goodness, honey, what in the world?" And she said, "Well, I was out shopping today. And I was in the clothing store, just wanted to go in there and buy me a coat, and I saw this red dress. And I walked past it once, and I walked past it twice, and I walked past it a third time, and I heard the devil say to me, go on ahead and buy it." And I just couldn't resist. And the deacon looked at her and he said, "Well, when he said that, what did you say to him?" She said, "Well, when I put it on, the old devil snuck up behind me and said, looks pretty good from back here too." With the full heart, let us get into it this morning for Nope, He Won't Do It. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth from God." Then the devil said to him, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we will spend together. We ask, Father, that you would watch over and keep us, that these words would strengthen us, that they would lift us, that these words coming from you are what we need for this week to get through things. Father, we thank you that we are able to be here, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus, through whom all of this is possible. And through his name we pray, and all of his children said, amen. Toad baked some cookies. "These cookies smell really good," said Toad, and he ate one. "They taste even better." Toad ran to Frog's house. "Frog, frog, frog," he cried. "Taste these cookies I have made." Frog ate one of the cookies and said, "My goodness, these are the best cookies I've ever had." Frog and Toad then sat down and started to eat cookies. And they ate so many cookies, one after another. "You know," Toad said, "Frog, with his mouth full and crumbs coming out, I think we should stop eating. We will soon be sick." "You are right," said Toad. "Let us eat one cookie and then we will stop." And Frog and Toad ate one last cookie. But there were still many cookies left in the bowl. "Frog," said Toad, "let us eat one very last cookie and then we will stop." And Frog and Toad ate one very last cookie. "We must stop eating," said Toad, as he shoveled another one into his mouth. "Yes," said Frog, reaching for a cookie. "We need willpower." "Well, what is willpower?" said Toad. "Willpower is trying really hard to do something, to not do something that you really want to do," said Frog. "You mean like trying to eat all these cookies and trying really hard not to?" "Right," said Frog. Frog put the cookies in a box. "There," he said, "now we will eat no more cookies." "But we can open the box," said Toad. Well, that is true, said Frog. Frog tied a string around the box. There, he said, now we will not eat any more cookies. But we can cut through the string and open the box and eat all the cookies, said Toad. That is true, said Frog. Frog got a ladder. He put the box high up on a shelf. There, said Frog. Now we won't eat any more cookies. Toad looked up and looked at Frog and said, but we can climb the ladder. We can take the box down from the shelf. We can cut the string. We can open the box and we can eat more cookies. That is true, said Frog. Frog climbed the ladder and took the box down from the shelf. He cut the string and opened the box, and Frog took the box outside. He shouted in a loud voice, hey, birds, here are the best cookies you've ever had in your life. Come eat them. The birds came from everywhere, and they picked up all the cookies in the box in their beak, and they flew away. Now we have no more cookies to eat, said Toad sadly, not even one. Yes, said Frog, but we have lots of willpower. Toad looked at Frog and said, you can keep all that willpower you want, Frog. You can't hardly eat it. I'm going home and bake a cake. Lead us not into temptation. That is the word for the day. Temptation and the mystery of things that are surrounding it. And we all fall victim to it, no matter how hard we think we can stay away from it. Toad and Frog tried everything they could to stay away from the cookies by doing things they thought were the right thing to do to keep them away. And we're all surrounded by temptation. All the time, every day, all day. And it's the usual things that we take into granted that are temptation. You know, cakes, pies, food. That stupid chocolate wonderfall at Golden Corral. Desire, alcohol, things that we ought not to do, and so on. Those are the things that we find ourselves drawn to when we think of temptation. What's temptation? Well, temptation is doing something I'm not supposed to do. Okay, got that. But what is temptation? Well, what do you mean? How do you form it up? And we don't think of it that way. We think of it as a tangible. But I was listening to the radio the other day, and I heard these educated individuals on this radio program talking about how the Lord tempts a person, puts a person into temptation. What? Now, my radio, luckily, has this little button on it called replay, and I can hit that thing boop, because I've got that satellite radio. And I can back up stuff to make sure I heard it right the first time. Because, well, it's a well-known fact that I'm a little bit hard of hearing in this ear. And this one as well. And sometimes I'm really hard of hearing, so I have to make sure of what is said. And so I backed it up and I listened to it. And the statement was made, well, you know, we have these moments where the Lord tempts us. And puts us into temptation to strengthen us. And I said, what's the call-in number for this show? But it was a pre-recorded show, so it was going to be wasting my breath. And then it hit me. Nope, he won't do it. He won't do it. That's when my head exploded to think that people think that the Lord tempts us. Let me be quite clear on this, so you understand where I'm coming from. Our Father does not lead us into temptation. We take care of that on our own. Amen? Ain't that the truth? And these are educated people saying that our faultless, blameless Father would deem us worthy to be led into something that would cause us to fail. Nope. He won't do it. He just won't do it. I always liked that commercial when I was growing up. And there's enough people in this room, and probably on the other side of the camera as well, that knows what I'm going to say when I say, let's give it to Mikey. He won't eat it. He hates everything. And old Mikey surprised him, didn't he? And that's temptation. Now, granted, it's not really temptation according to that commercial, but you could look at it that way because we know better. And people are like, come on, no. You'll like it? Okay, let me try it. And then sometimes you find out I was a whole lot smarter to say things like, no, I don't want to be a part of this. But what got me was God will lead us to testing. And let me tell you, testing and temptation are two very different things. From his book, The Words and Works of Jesus Christ by J.B. Pentecost, there's a quotation in there that goes like this. What is temptation? It is seduction to evil, solicitation to wrong. It stands distinguished from trial thus. Trials tests. Seeks to discover the man's moral qualities or characters, but temptation persuades to evil, deludes that it may ruin. The one that means to undeceive, the other means to deceive. The one aims at the man's good, making him conscious of his true moral self, but the other at his evil, leading him more or less unconsciously into sin. God tests or tries, Satan tempts. Period. Nope, no sir, no. He won't do it. But he also doesn't take it away. After all, we have to learn. And we read this scripture, and we come to this old moment in Jesus Christ. Everybody knows, what happened to Jesus after he got baptized? Well, he went in the wilderness 40 days, 40 nights, didn't eat anything, and the devil came and tempted him. But then we go back and we read it with new eyes, new lenses, new thoughts about all the temptations that are out there today. And we see it differently. We always forget how it starts. Right there in verse 1, doesn't it? Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Well, Paul, that just goes against everything you said. God's tempting him. No, God's going to put him through the test. The devil is going to be the one that tempts him. Now, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And that is one of the key parts of that verse. That is one of the key reasons that we study that so carefully. He was in a weakened state. How many people have ever been in a weakened state in this room? Put your hands up. All because of everything, right? Because of the world around you has made you weak. And in those weakened moments, some things that perhaps were not the best for you suddenly become the best for you, right? I listened to a Christian comedian this week talk about temptation. He said, temptation for me is lemon meringue pie. Well, you caught my attention. Tell me about lemon meringue pie. He goes, I love lemon meringue pie. My wife makes the greatest lemon meringue pie in the world. And I thought to myself, well, you need to come to church some Sunday and see what these women around here are capable of making, because I'm here to tell you right now, they make the greatest, and I can show you. He said, my wife makes the greatest lemon meringue pie. And he said, she puts it in the container in individual pieces. And she puts it in there so that I will go in the refrigerator and I will take out one piece and I'll open the container and I'll have one little slice of lemon meringue pie and now all the world is good. He said, but there are those moments. I've had a hard day. The brakes on the car are locked up. The boss was yelling at me. Or something was wrong. And I just came in that house and I just walked right into that refrigerator and I opened it up and I said, hey, there's only two little slices of that lemon meringue pie left. I might as well just eat both of them because I've had a hard day and I deserve it because everything is hard for me. And lemon meringue pie is going to solve all my worldly troubles. And I'll yank one out and I'll eat it and I'll be, oh, this is so good. And I'll tear into that second one and, oh, this is so good. And then suddenly I'm sitting there with two empty containers and no more lemon meringue pie in the refrigerator. And then it hits me. Why didn't I just drink some water instead? That's where we get lost. And that's why it's so important to see this scripture at the beginning as a warning, as a doctrine, as a guide for us. Jesus was weak. He was 40 days in the desert with nothing to eat, fasting. There are people that I know that fast. And I have talked to them ad nauseum about it. How do you do it? How many days do you fast for? Well, sometimes we fast for a day. Okay, I could probably pull that one off. Sometimes we fast for 2 days. I think you're starting to lose me right here. One time, in order to get an answer, we fasted for a week. And I said, let me make sure if I'm understanding this. Did you drink water? Yeah, we drank water. Did you eat anything? No. We gave ourselves over. I don't think I could do that. I mean, I guess I could if I had to, but I can't do it. So this past week, I decided to go for a 24-hour fast. And you know what? I didn't do so well. I made it to the first hour of 24 hours, and I started to chew on the side of my hand. And by the second hour, I was like, I don't think I'm going to go much longer. I'm going to die. I haven't eaten anything. But you know what? About 10 hours in, and I kept going. About 10 hours in, I thought, well, this ain't too bad. And then I opened up the refrigerator and I got the cold water jug out and I poured my water in there and I said, this is a turkey leg. I'm going to drink a turkey leg. And I upended that cup and I asked God, I said, God, make this thing taste like a turkey leg because I'm in the valley of temptation. And God, you know what he did? He made that glass of water taste just like a glass of water. I said, that was a test, right? I drank my water. I kept on going. And believe it or not, I got to the other end of that 24 hours. And I didn't die. And I didn't waste away to nothing. And I actually felt something. And it started me back to thinking about these people on the radio who said that God tempts us to break us down. And I thought, no, he doesn't. He gives us what we need to survive the temptation. He gives us what we need to go through it. In this scripture, Jesus is now weak. The Bible says the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. After 40 days, I believe that would be something you might think about. Jesus said, no, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then the devil took him to the holy city. In 1965, that movie came out, The Greatest Story Ever Told. Anybody ever seen that movie? I love that scene where the tempter is sitting there chomping away on a turkey leg, having a conversation with Jesus in that cave, and takes him to the different places. And when I read that scripture that says, took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple and look down and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself off here. And it's done in such a way that it's a conversation, not like anything magnanimous or crazy. It's just a conversation. He's sitting there, you know, if you fall off of here, you won't get hurt. You'll be all right. Go ahead and jump. Go ahead, it'll be all right. I've read and I've been told, and we all know, that the angels will come after you before you even get near the ground. And they'll catch you and they'll lift you up. You won't even touch it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Show me. Show me you're the Son of God. It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. But the last one is the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. All this I'll give you if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil left and angels came and attended him. That whole 11 verses is a reminder to each and every one of us that Jesus Christ went through that for us. He began the bearing of pain in that moment. He had just walked up out of the water 40 days earlier, Spirit of God had lit on him, landed on him, lifted him up, and taken him on a new journey. And the first thing that happens is he goes right into a trial. He goes right into the moment that will teach him the pain that is coming. As the Union Pacific Railroad was being constructed, an elaborate trestle bridge was built across the large canyon out there in the west. Now, wanting to test the bridge, the builder loaded a train with enough extra cars and equipment to double its payload. Double it! The train was driven out to the middle of the bridge, and the brakes were pulled, and the fire was cooled, and it was left there for the rest of the day, from the morning until the evening. And the bridge builder sat at the bank and watched, and then wandered down to the bottom of the trestle and listened and watched. And one worker asked, "Are you trying to break this bridge?" "No," the builder replied, "I'm trying to prove to you that the bridge won't break." In the same way, the writer goes on, the temptations Jesus faced weren't designed to see if he would sin, but to prove that he couldn't. He won't do it. Nope, he won't do it. God will just plain out not tempt us. It's not in his nature. It's not in his being. If somebody comes to you and says, "This is how it is," God will tempt. The answer's no. We tempt ourselves, and we get led there by our own free will, by our own desire. We look at Frog and Toad. Made these wonderful cookies. Could have eaten one, set them down, and had cookies for the next month. But they became so enthralled in them, they suddenly realized that they were in trouble, and they tried to figure out a way to get out of that trouble instead of starting it from the beginning, and found out that no matter what, willpower is something that you have to aspire to. Strength is something that you need to call on God for. And temptation is constant and never ending. They say for the men who trap animals for the zoos from over there in Africa, they say one of the hardest things to catch is a ring-tailed monkey. Now, I've always fancied, and you can ask my wife, I've always fancied, and she's shaking her head because she knows where this is going. I've always thought how cool it would be if I could have a monkey for a pet. I'd let him ride on my shoulder, call him Trigger, have him do little things. Come here, monkey. Come here, Trigger. And every time we go to the zoo and stuff, and my wife just pulls me right past the monkey cage. And they say the hardest thing to catch is the ring-tailed monkey because you can't get near it. If you get within 20 feet of it, that thing takes off through the trees like a shot. And they can't do it. So they have to turn to those who study and understand how temptation works, to the Zulu tribes. And they make it simple. They said they've been catching this little agile animal for ease without any effort, without chasing it, without any nets. The method of the Zulus is based on the knowledge of the animal. Their trap is nothing more than a melon growing on a vine. The seeds of the melon, however, are a favorite thing of the monkey. They love them. It says here that knowing this, the Zulus simply cut a hole in the melon just large enough for the monkey to stick his hand in to get the seeds out from inside. The monkey will stick his hand in and get as many seeds as he can and then try to withdraw that ball of seeds in his hand and can't get it out through the hole. He will pull and tug and screech and fight with that melon for hours, and all they do is sit in the shade in the bushes and watch him. When he can't get free, they just walk up behind him while he's beating that melon around and grab him by the back of the neck and pull him out of the melon and take him to the cage. Because he won't let go of the temptation. Are we going to be overrun with opportunities for temptation? You better know it. We are going to see that old tempter, you know what? Forget it. Let's just call him who he is. Satan, Lucifer, the devil. I get so tired of people saying, you can't say that. You can't say that name out loud. You can't say that, you know, that's not proper. Really? Why not? The Bible called him that. He is put here to constantly tempt us, and why? John Newton said that Satan will seldom come to a Christian with a gross temptation. You see, a green log and a candle can be safely left together while the candle's burning. But a few shavings, some small sticks, and then larger, and you may bring a green log to ashes. Little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit. Why does he do what he does? Because he can. The radio was wrong about that. And it prompted me to think, are we clear? Do we understand how this works? That the temptations that we fall into daily are our own doing, not God. Our trial comes when we can step away from it. And there is a way to do it. Lexi Fowler is a sheep rancher in the West. Now, we all know how I feel about sheep. I kind of think they're some of the dumbest animals on the earth. Here it is raining, pouring down rain. Here's a run-in shed for them. And where are they at? Huddled in the middle of the field in the rain. Bah. And you go up to them, get in the building, and they run away from you. So I never understood that. But she's a sheep herder. She says she's tried just about everything, and she told the Denver Post, to stop the wily coyotes from killing her sheep. She's used odor sprays, electric fences, and scare coyotes. She has slept with her lambs during the summer and placed battery-operated radios near them. She has corralled them at night, herded them by day, but the southern Montana rancher has lost scores of lambs. She tells 50 of them last year alone. Then she discovered a way to fight off the coyote, the llama, the funny-looking, goofy-acting, stand-up noise-making, afraid-of-nothing llama. Llama! Remember what llamas are? That's one half of the animal in old Dr. Doolittle movie, The Push Me, Pull You. Isn't that what it was? A llama on each end? See, I'll take you back in time. Just stay with me. She said llamas don't appear to be afraid of anything. When they see something, they put their head down and go straight at it. This aggressive behavior as far as the coyote is concerned, and they won't have anything to do with it. They will take off running. Coyotes are opportunists. The devil is an opportunist. Temptation is an opportunist, and llamas take that opportunity away. Apparently, llamas know the truth of what James writes when he says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The moment we feel that moment coming, that sense, that attack, then we should deal with it and face it head on and resist it. And I'll take this opportunity right now to ask my wife, can we have a llama? No, no monkey, no llama. I have no fun in my house. I just like a little temptation. No, I'm only kidding. I'm preaching against it. But God, he won't do it. We can be reminded that we're going to fall, that we're going to fall prey to temptation. We're going to do something somewhere that's going to come back and make us realize we shouldn't have done that. But God will remain there. And he will teach us, and he will stand ready to continue his love for us and forgive us yet again when we fall. That's the beauty of being a child of God. That's the beauty of what Jesus took on his shoulders when he was tempted. That's the beauty of what we have when we profess our love for Jesus Christ, our belief in him. This, brothers and sisters, is something God will do. He will love. He will lift. He will forgive. And he will always, always, always be that place where we can run to when we feel temptation coming on. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We ask, as we always do, that you be a part of our life. That you show us where we need to be, where we need to go, and how we need to get there. And we know that we are going to face temptation constantly. And we also know that we're going to fail at it a lot. But we know that as we continue to ask for your help to resist the devil, to flee from him, you will be there. We know that as we have fallen and if we have been lost in it, that you will lift us back up yet again, bring peace and forgive us. So great is the love for us that you gave us Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice to remove our sins. Father, this week ahead, let us just be reminded to stay clear of that temptations, to be aware of them, and to be prepared to reach out to you that you may show us we pass the test by getting in front of it for us. Father, bless each and every one hearing the sound of your message today. Lift each and every one of us up. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this last song, as we get to the last hymn. Really? Great is thy faithfulness? That's just too funny. If you feel that temptation is going to hit you this week, call someone. Reach out to me or call someone. Get yourself right. Reach out and say, hey, man, I need some help. And if you're here this morning and you need to leave it behind, the bench is open. But I pray that God watches over and keeps you.